I'm Laura Vinroot Poole. For 20 years, I've owned Capital, an internationally recognized specialty store. Capital has never really been about fashion. It's always been about people. What we wore was created to share the meaningful journeys that inspire me. From the designers and friends I meet on the road to the men and women with whom I work each day.
Everybody wants to know her name.
Jodi Kandrian is a Charlotte resident and an Arizona native who channels her love of stones into gorgeous cuffs, bolos, and necklaces. She's a favorite of ours at Capital and Garden & Gun for her colorful creations that merge the South with the Southwest. This is the last episode of our five-episode capsule in partnership with Garden & Gun. Jodi Kandrian, I'm so happy you're here during COVID times, 6 feet away.
I am very excited to be here, especially to see another human face that is different from the confines of my home. I'm thrilled to be here.
This is your first time out?
This is really my first time out. I actually haven't even gone to the grocery store. I've just been sending my husband and going on bike rides and runs outside of the house with my daughter. So
nice.
Yeah, big time first time out.
Well, you look beautiful. You definitely got dressed.
Thank you. I really did try.
I think the first time I met you was through Southerners. I mean, I think you have a history of friends from the South. And I think I was introduced to you from all sorts of people. You have to meet my friend Jodi. Finally, we met probably 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you live in Charlotte now, but you're from Tucson, Arizona.
I am. Born in Tucson and lived there until I went away to college to USC. I loved growing up there. I love Tucson now.
I love Arizona. My brother lives there.
Oh.
I mean, it's such a magical place.
It really is. When you fly into Arizona, I get the same feeling every time. It's you look out the window and you think, I cannot believe that this place that looks like this. I mean, it looks like Mars, and I'm always blown away, but it's a really, really special place. It's beautiful, and it's so different from any other part of the country.
Completely. It's so funny because your eyes really have to change when you land. There's so much color, and I don't think that most people notice that, or I think it's much more subtle to understand that. I dropped out of college after my freshman year and did a National Outdoor Leadership School semester in Tucson.
Oh my gosh.
We went all over the Southwest, but it was based in Tucson. And I just fell in love with it. It was in the fall, which was a particularly beautiful mm-hmm. time. Are your parents native Arizonans? How do you say that?
Arizonans. No, my mom is actually from the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, mm-hmm. and my dad's from Chicago. Yeah. They met at the University of Arizona, so that's where the Tucson bit came about, but it is a very colorful place when you say that. And it's funny because when you land, it does look very brown
yeah.
and Mars-ish from the sky. But when you get there, especially Tucson, is a very green desert. And mm-hmm. I always have loved and appreciated the earth colors that are there. But then there are these vibrant spring colors that come out on the cactus flowers, the fall there. I mean, it's just in Arizona, people always assume it's just hot, you know, all year round.
And it is not.
In the summer.
Yeah,
but it's
right.
hot everywhere in the summer.
And the desert especially is cold.
It is very cold, but it's beautiful different seasons. But I loved growing up there for so many reasons. I had a really wonderful childhood, but it was just a very grounded place to grow up. And mm-hmm. we played outside. We played in the desert. We built forts. We were like really... Like, we played on the earth, which was great. We were barefoot a lot.
Very grounded.
Very grounded, literally, yes.
I've met your mom. You have a very beautiful mom. Tell me about her style.
Thank you. You're probably going to make me emotional.
I haven't seen her in two months.
Yeah. I haven't seen her in 2 months, which is a long time.
I'll tell you, my parents live 10 blocks from me. My mom is immunocompromised, and so I've been able to see them, but it's from like way across the yard, and it's almost sadder because you can't
hug
them.
So close. Yeah.
That's awful.
Being far from family is the hardest for sure, and I am so close with my family, mm-hmm. so that's just like ripping at my heart every day, but I know we'll get past it and I'll get back to see them. But my mom she's amazing. She's so beautiful, always has been, and is my best friend. She's very real. She's athletic. She's really stylish.
Y'all look alike too.
We do. It's funny. I have my dad, brother, and I are all brunette. My mom and sister are blonde. So we all look a lot alike, but it's like this funny
different
hair
variations
confusion.
Yeah. Do you have any of her pieces of clothing that you still wear?
I do. Actually, it's funny. I feel like a few of those pieces were the ones that I would choose when I would meet with you and Ruth when you'd come to New York. Because I always thought, like, what would be my coolest thing that I could pull out that they're not going to know is from Zara or someplace else? I do. I have a couple really great suede skirts that my mom saved. And I wear them high-waisted now. And
super cool.
Really, really cool.
And in good shape.
Fabulous shape, like bizarrely great shape. And my mom is like so casual with things like that. I'm surprised that A, she saved them, and B, they're in such great condition. But I love those.
So you went to USC, and what did you study at USC?
I studied fine art and Spanish.
Oh, I'm a fine art major too.
I know you are, and I love that. And I feel
but
like,
I wish I had Spanish too. Oh.
Of course, in Arizona, so many people speak Spanish because you're so close to the border.
Yeah.
And I always just love speaking Spanish and wanted to continue on with that. So I added that on in
at
USC. Yeah.
And what was your concentration in fine arts?
It was media-based imaging, which was also pretty broad, but it kind of, I guess, had a photography emphasis, but it was graphic design, printmaking, which I loved.
I love printmaking.
Yeah, there were so many. And I actually, when I look back at some of my teachers I had at USC, I was so, you know, at the time you think like, oh yeah, they were a great teacher. And I look back now and these people have now like been huge, like really, really famous artists. Ken Price, who was a pottery teacher there. And, you know, he has pieces now all over the place. I love being an art major and I really love it today because you learned so many things. You had art history. Mm-hmm. I had sculpture. I had drawing, painting, printmaking, photography, all these skills that are now what I do.
Yeah.
You know, like soup to nuts with my business because I do all of that. It turned out to be a really good choice for a major.
And I think I was talking to my daughter about it. I've started to paint a little bit. I'm a painting major. She was asking about what's it like to major in painting. She said something like, how is that hard? And I said, you know, it's really hard because you basically critiques or charrettes you have every day. And your professors are saying, why did you make that mark? What were you thinking when you did this? Why did you do this? And you have to answer for every single mark that you make, every single choice that you make. And I think that is really unusual. I don't know other majors that require that. And I think that for me, it really did change my life because I am very thoughtful about why I do things. And I think it totally comes from that.
That's so interesting you say that. And that's so true. And even for painting, especially, you think about some of the great masters that worked on pieces for years and years and years, and then other people that like throw a canvas up and you can answer why you did this one real quick, you know.
Right.
But it's a great point.
We digress, sorry. But from USC, you went on to Central St. Martin's. And what did you do there?
I had applied for a postgraduate study. And once again, this was like a broad study, but there was like lighting and all these different things. It's like this little combo course that I found interesting. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do when I graduated from USC. I loved going there. It was an amazing college, but I had the urge to go abroad and be away again and keep studying. So I had applied for that program, moved over there after the summer. I found this great apartment in Eaton Terrace Mews that I found through a mutual friend from New York. They were over there working in finance. And I was loving it. I felt like this is going to be a great next step for me. This is perfect.
And this is the life.
This is the life. And then September 11th happened.
Oh, wow. So 2001.
Yeah. And it was that neighborhood in particular had so many embassies and ambassadors, you know, people that were sort of threatened. They kept saying London's next. And, you know, it was just a very scary place to be by myself. So I ended up scratching that, packed up and moved back, which was unfortunate because.
Back to Arizona?
I moved back to Arizona quickly just to sort of unpack. I still wanted to do something else. I wasn't sure, you know, where. And once again, with the fine art, there's so many things. But I thought, which is going to be, like, where do we want to go with kind of all these skills or things I've learned? So I ended up applying to an interior design program in Newport Beach. And it was Newport was a choice just because I had been at USC and I had so many friends that had gone there after college. And it's a beautiful place. And they had an interior design school. So when I have, like, rehashed all my steps, it's clear that I've always wanted to kind of keep moving and keep exploring, keep traveling, because I loved being out there. But then I thought, like, okay, I'm not – Southern California is not for me. I need to move on from there. From there, I went to Madrid with younger sister.
I love Madrid.
I really love Madrid. I had done a study abroad there during college for a semester and absolutely loved it. And after this Newport stint, my younger sister was in college in Colorado at Boulder. And she was ready to go abroad too. And so we thought, we have this really great idea. I'll just get in touch with this senora that we lived with, and we'll see if we can both live in her place. I'll go back and get a job there somehow, and you can study abroad, so we'll go together. And I started teaching English to Spanish businesses over there, which
is wow.
a very easy job kind of to get. Or I mean, you don't have to have any teaching right. requirements whatsoever. You basically just have to speak English and Spanish. So I did that with my sister for her study abroad.
I love that.
Yeah, and it was
fun. Amazing.
Yeah.
You must be so close.
Really close.
From that experience, especially.
Yeah, yes.
And then from there, moved on to New
After
York.
After that was New York, yep.
And worked with Club Monaco on the design team?
I did.
In clothing?
In clothing. Yeah. In women's wovens. And it's funny, Caroline Weller was working in Aww. Women's knits at the time.
So, from Ben Jannen.
Yep. So we worked like 20 feet apart from each other for a while, and I hadn't seen her until your party, which was really fun, I know. Aww. It was not as a designer, but I did everything from the expense reports for the team. I put together, I had to collect every little tiny Pantone chip that we had used for mood boards back in their compartments. I put together mood boards. I printed out runway shows. They asked me to do a back pocket detail for denim, for stitching, just a lot of different projects. But it was a really great start in fashion because I saw so many. I mean, I saw it all. I saw it. Yeah. And I had to do so many different jobs within that department. So it was a great learning experience.
And did you know immediately that fashion was it for you?
I loved working in fashion, and I knew that I wanted to be involved in that in some way. But I did always feel trapped with working for or adhering to a corporate calendar and not having the time to be able to jump on a plane and go back and see my family or
go to Madrid
or leave at 5 o'clock. Some nights we'd be there so late, and it was just because someone didn't get it together. They'd had their 90th cup of coffee at 11:30, and then they started working. So it frustrated me a little bit, but I definitely loved fashion.
And do you think that the dislike of that corporate environment pushed your entrepreneurial side?
Absolutely.
And so after New York, did you go straight into designing?
I had gone back to Arizona again, and the Gem Show was there, which is the biggest one in the world, which now I feel like so many people are attending and really appreciating. But it was going on, and I went with my family just to look at, everyone goes.
Had you been before?
I had been when we were younger, but mainly to
Right.
More as a child to collect things. But I had gone, and something was different. I saw the stones, and I thought, I need to do something with this. We had this guy in Tucson that would solder our charms on our charm bracelet. Uh-huh. He had a Native American jewelry store. I saw this huge stone, and I thought, this would be so great if he could just solder this on a giant cuff. So I took it to him, and he did it. And the first one that I have, I still have it. It had a rod shooting through it, but I thought, this is really awesome. I love the way this looks. And
love the way it looks? Do you love the stone and all of that?
I do love the stone. It was an agate druzy. It was really thick. It was an inch and a half, but it had holes on the side. So I actually had to stick a rod through it. And I don't like the way the rod looks going through it, but I still love that.
Was your mother into jewelry? Had y'all been into stones? Was there any other than playing outside and growing up in Arizona?
Not as far as jewelry. No, my mom, I feel like her style, when I look at old photos from high school and college, I love that whole era. Yeah. I loved her style. It was so put together and so cool.
And she has such a Stevie Nicks look about her too.
Yeah.
I'm sure in the 70s, 10 times more.
Yes. And she actually went to high school with Stevie Nicks.
No way.
She did. I know.
What?
I know. I went to school with a lot of nice people too, but they went to high school in the Bay Area.
How crazy.
I know. And every time I go home, I still flip to the back of the yearbook and see that
Stephanie.
And that she and Lindsey Buckingham would play, my mom would tell stories. Oh, yeah. They play on the beach and have these.
Oh,
so,
my God.
It's funny you mentioned Stevie Nicks. My mom never had, there weren't any big pieces of jewelry or things like that. I guess the stone thing really came, I think, from Arizona, being surrounded by that landscape. Mm-hmm. I mean, my collections are always inspired by that, for sure.
And did you understand that different stones have different energies?
I think that's another thing that I appreciate growing up in Arizona. Everyone is very into healing nature, stones, vortex energies, all
vortex,
that for
sure.
a reason. I mean, the reason why women always are attracted to jewelry and especially stone jewelry is because it gives us healing powers. It gives us strength, courage, mm-hmm. comfort, all these different things. And sometimes I'll even find that women will gravitate towards a certain stone or a piece, and they'll say, like, gosh, you know, this is, I've never been a purple person. And, you know, it kind of makes you laugh and you think, well, it's probably not the purple. It's maybe because you need the amethyst right now, or you need this and that. I think it's like, you know, clothing and art or even wine, like some things you just like because you like, and sometimes you need that color to lift you up. But I definitely believe in the energy and the healing properties of stones, for sure.
One of the things I love about your bolas particularly is that they sit right on your solar plexus. I mean, they're just so powerful.
You are so smart, Laura.
But they do. I'm looking at it on you. It just emanates this energy. It's so beautiful. But
Thank you.
I don't know. I think that I love that they land there.
I love that they land there too. And I think the necklaces do too. But the stones are so much heavier and they sit at different parts. But this is like so close to your heart.
Yeah.
And it's also so close to all the, you know, the chakra levels. So it is amazing. And I hear that from so many of my customers. They'll say, like, this just feels so good when it's on.
Yeah.
Whether that's the bolo or the necklace, or a cuff. I do personally love that about the bolos.
We first started buying cuffs from you, and that was the thing that you heard over and over, was that it just feels so good on my arm.
They do that. They're
powerful. They do that. Yeah, they are.
There's validity to that, for sure.
So you started to make jewelry, and I think a defining moment for you was when you walked through Fred Siegel. Tell me about it.
I had gone back out after kind of starting from the gem show and making these pieces, doing little trunk shows for my mom's friends. And I went out to L.A., and I was wearing a necklace, a huge, big, really bright, almost neon-y. And then it had this chrysoprase pendant. So it was it was very yellow and neon-y and bright. I loved it. And a cool cuff. And I walked through, and this girl stopped me and asked who made the jewelry. And I said, I did. I'm, you know, sort of said I'm a jewelry designer. I wasn't quite one at that point. But she loved it and said that they'd love to see a collection. And I, you know, tried to sort of think in my head, like, how quickly can I get all this put together and come back here and have a collection? But I did. I went back to Tucson, put together a little collection, came back, and they picked it up. And it was a big deal.
And so at that point, you moved to New York?
Shortly thereafter. They picked it up, and then Jessica Saylor Van Lith and Jane Herman, whose dad, of course, was Ron Herman with Fred Siegel, they wrote to me and said that they wanted to do a little story in Vogue. And I thought, no way. I mean, It was like so out of, I never even like thought that could, it was just so big. And then they ended up seeing the jewelry and they wanted to take some of the pieces and actually put it in the magazine. I couldn't believe it was all happening, but I knew that I needed to be in New York because you couldn't say like, hey, let me run around in Tucson and get this to FedEx and get it over to you, because just it wasn't going to work like that. So I did end up going back to New York, and this time found this great apartment in the West Village. Mm-hmm. And it was like, there started my life again in New York, and where the business really took off and grew.
And then from there, we got you back in the South. And you moved,
after a while.
You fell in love and moved to New Orleans.
Yes.
What was that like for your business? Were you afraid to leave New York?
Not at that point. I had lived in New York for 10 years from the beginning part, and then I took that quick leave and then came back. I had been there, and I did all of New York. I had no regrets, and I still don't. I had like great friends. I did everything that I wanted to do in New York. I had never even been to New Orleans or like before, you know.
They call that baptism by fire. Yeah. That's your first place living in the South.
Yeah. And that it's funny because I feel like, I mean, as everyone knows who's been to New Orleans, New Orleans is a different type of South. There are so many different types. New Orleans is different from the Delta South. It's different from North Carolina South. But I loved New Orleans and I still do. It's such an incredible city, and it was so great for the business because I think it brought in so much color. I think my eyes, just like when you talked about that light when you land in Arizona.
Yeah.
We always joke with my parents, when I land in Tucson, I feel like I'm sunburned. I mean, from the descent on the airplane, you have to put on your sunglasses because it was so bright coming from
different.
New York.
Yeah.
And New Orleans was like that too, in so many different ways. It was so inspirational for a bazillion reasons.
I think you were always meant to be in the South though.
I do.
Why did you fall, what made you fall in love with the South? Other than a man.
I felt like there were so many different little worlds in New Orleans. And then being able to jump in the car. And I love exploring. And I felt like, especially there were so many things to see and experience that made me feel like I was like on another planet.
I also think, and I think it's you, but I also think that you've been so adopted wherever you've moved that people really want you to be a part of. And that's how I met you at first, was from these Southerners that said, you have to meet Jody.
Well, that's
but really, I do think everywhere you've moved has sort of been like that.
I do. Well, and I think once again, you're introduced to people from other great people. So I feel like, you know, the people that I really adored introduced me to people, you know, in New Orleans that then introduced me to people, you know, in all these different places. And so I feel like you start running with that group and you surround yourself with great people.
I think people often transform when they move, but you, I think, really have stayed grounded also in your Southwestern roots and always wear pieces that reflect that. Why is this important to you? Why is this important to you?
I think it's important, but I also think it comes naturally. I think most of us tend to wear or adorn ourselves in things that make you feel good, whether mm-hmm. that's the way you dress or, like, you know, pieces that you've had since childhood, things that remind you of home and like things that just make you happy. I have certain rings and a necklace that I've worn since I was, like, in 7th or 8th grade from family members, and it's hard for me even to take them off when I go for a run or something. But I feel like the Southwestern bit just suits me, and that's, I feel comfortable wearing those kind of things. Sometimes I'll finish getting dressed and I'll think, like, ooh, I need, like, I'm missing a beaded belt, or I'm missing some leather here, or denim, you know, or something that it just feels like that completes my look.
You do have a Millicent Rogers thing going always, I think.
Well, that is a huge compliment.
Right?
Yes, major. My mom actually gave me this incredible concho belt that was worn, like, you know, lower. She had it more of, like, dropped on the hip.
Yeah.
So I can't wear it tight around one of my dresses, but I'm going to have it fixed here because it's almost such a beautiful piece. You just want to display it.
This episode is in partnership with Garden and Gun. How would you describe Southern style?
When I think about Southern style, I think about Capital and the way you've created this look and a beautiful way for girls to dress. And
I don't know what that, tell me what that is, because I don't know that I would recognize that.
I would recognize it, but I think you've transformed it. So I think women here really appreciate color. They love looking beautiful, but they also can mix it and have high-low, which I think is what you've changed, that you can have these fabulous pieces, but they're mixed with tennis shoes or like a wild belt in color. But I think it has really encouraged people to be creative with their choices. And I love seeing people not just have one solid
look color. Look number 47. Head to toe.
That was a fun thing for me, for my business working in the South and living in the South, is that people they love to get dressed.
Yeah.
And they appreciate fine things. Mm-hmm. They want something unique. And
they're not into celebrity dressing either. Like, they're not like, oh, I saw this on somebody, I wanted to wear it. They want something that they've never seen before, which is really unusual, I think.
That's so true. And it's funny when you talk about, like, celebrities wearing your thing, that's never been something that's really,
it's a deal killer almost, you know?
Actually,
people are like, ooh.
It's definitely a deal killer.
I also think people in the South have obviously nice manners, and I think that they dress appropriately to the occasion. Like, they dress for the hostess.
That's,
you know,
true.
You would never see somebody show up sort of not done up to the level that the hostess would expect.
Absolutely.
You don't see that around the world, really.
No, you don't.
Talk to me a little bit about COVID-19 and business shifts. What's it shifting for you, and what are you looking forward to it shifting?
My collection is complete and ready. I had it ready to go when it was supposed to be ready to go, and I feel good about that right now, that I'm stocked and I'm loaded and I'm ready when everyone else is ready. If people want to shop right now, if they're able to shop, I love that. And I think that it's important to support everyone. You know, I think there's this big push about supporting restaurants and things, but everyone is struggling right now in different ways. It's not the time necessarily to ask people for discounts. And are you marking everything down to 70%? Like, no, you're not, because this was a time that was supposed to be like a huge moment to shop. So I think if you have the means to shop and support people, I think it's important to do that right now.
I don't think that the will for beauty fades. You know, I think people want beauty.
They do. And I think I've joked on Instagram about looking good on Zoom, but people.
Oh my gosh, it's a thing.
It is. You, like, I mean, you have to step up your your makeup game, everything.
I wear more makeup and I'm more dressed for Zoom than I am in my regular life.
And when we come out of this, I think you really want to, people are going to, like, crank up the music and get dressed and load on the jewelry and be excited to go out, you know, even if it's not in big crowds for a long while. it's still, you can look good. And
I agree.
I'm hopeful that it's all going to come back.
Oh, I believe it will. I really do. We ask everybody in the podcast what they wore to the prom, and I cannot wait to hear what you wore.
I actually went to the prom twice, and I was wondering, oh, like, yeah. Was that okay?
Well, I mean, if you were a popular gal, I guess. I don't know.
No, I'm not saying that like that, but I was thinking, like,
what, you went to two different proms in 1 year. You went
year and junior and senior. Yeah.
Okay.
So when I was thinking of outfits, that's what made me confused. I thought, like, which one was I thinking about? Another, but that's
I liked
what it
my
was.
Junior better than my senior.
I actually liked my junior and my senior a lot.
Okay,
it's funny. I sort of wish I had like a disastrous outfit that I look back and think like, oh, what was I doing? Those two dresses were like better than a lot of other choices later, maybe even in college. But the first one, the junior prom, I got this beautiful dress from, it was like a women's store that my mom shopped. And it was, and I shouldn't say women's, like it was like.
But a grown up. Yeah, grown lady. Up.
It just wasn't a kid. Like a teen store. But they had, like, the coolest stuff for, like, people my mom's age. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, we can go in there and just see if they had anything, which was, like, such a big deal because I didn't think I was going to fit. I was, like, a peanut in high school. I didn't think I was going to fit in anything there. But there was this white dress, and it reminded me – I don't even know, like, actually who the inspiration was, but it was so, like, chic and – I thought, like, this would be so beautiful. And we ended up having the woman that was the tailor there. Mm-hmm. She took it in a million times to make it great. But it was, like, it had little spaghetti straps, but it was almost, like, midi length. But it was so pretty.
But, like, bias cut?
I'm trying to think about what the top was. Had, like, a couple different panels. So it was, like, a little bit shiny on one and then matte on shiny and then matte. And then went down. But it was beautiful. And it was, like,
chiffon.
No, satin. And this is like, I'm blanking on what material it was. But,
all right, we'll need to see a picture.
I was going to say, my mom's yelling like, it was that.
And then what was the
senior? And then the senior one was from Nicole Miller.
Look
and
at I had you.
gone to Phoenix to get it. And it was so cool too. It was black, almost like a bodysuit on top.
Oh,
and
cool.
It, yeah. And then it had like a belt. It was almost like one piece because underneath there were like little tiny bike shorts, which sounds really weird.
That sounds kind of good though. You could do a lot of dancing.
You could do a lot of dancing, a lot of moving.
Flips.
Dips. I'm picturing like Kristen Wiig and Bridesmaid when she's doing this. It was kind of like that. But it was long to the floor. So it was sort of like see-through, but had those bike shorts. So, you know.
Black?
Don't worry, black. But it was really cool.
And jewelry?
Very minimalistic. And even my hair, like I had my hair done by our hair girl, but it was just this probably my pieces that I've worn forever, the rings, the necklace.
No bolo
at that point, unfortunately. But
no concha belt.
No,
that would have been rad.
That would have been really rad.
I loved having you. Thanks for coming during
thank you
COVID
so much
times.
I needed this.
Yeah, it was a nice outing, wasn't it?
It was
6 feet apart.
Thanks so much, Laura.
Thank you. What We Wore is produced by Capital and Balto Creative Media. The original song, Someone So Enchanting, was composed and performed by Britt Drozda. What We Wore is a member of the Queen City Podcast Network, powered by Ortho Carolina. Find out more at queencitypodcastnetwork.com.